How many books of the Bible mention false doctrines or false teachers in the New Testament? You ready? 26. 26. Only one book doesn't, and that's Philemon. So would you say that false teachers and false doctrine are important to God?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy New Year and welcome. On the program today, we continue Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of 2 Peter. The message today is titled, False Teachers, Part 2. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. 2 Peter has been a great study, and this is his farewell message. We've learned all that. We know that. We know that it's written, if you will, to the same recipients that are in 1 Peter, the Jewish believers that are scattered abroad. Now, with all that being said, these Jewish believers here, they are going through it. They're not only facing the Neronian persecution, they now know that they're going to be facing Peter's soon departure. But not only just that, they're also facing the false teachers. So 2 Peter is written to Christians then, Christians now, and how important it is for all of us to grow in the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, the Word of God. Amen? Remember, the theme is from 3:18, 2 Peter 3:18, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So before us, these facts, if you will, about false teaching, again, as I said last Sunday, they are so important that Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, devotes an entire chapter, 22 verses, man, about false teachers. Remember what I said, 577 words, 22 stinging verses, man, and they are forceful, they are certain, they are sure about what God thinks of false teachers, amen? Now, with all of that being said, remember that the false teachers, they look like sheep, they act like sheep, they even talk like sheep, but they're not sheep, amen? Jesus said they were ravenous wolves. Paul the Apostle said they were savage wolves, and they are now not outside of the church. No, they are among them. They're in the church as they are today in our own time frame. Now, so last Sunday we learned what these false teachers, what they do. Now we're going to do something as we conclude chapter 2. We're going to look deeper into their true identity and into their true character, if you will. So verses 10 through 22, and I could be off on, I counted very quickly. I know that there are at least 15 character traits or descriptions of false teachers given to us, and they are the direct opposite of our Lord Jesus. Amen? And so we need to study this out. So with all that being said, we're going to begin in verse 9, and I'm going to read from verse 9 from the Amplified Version, and then I'm going to read verse 10 from the Phillips Translation to really bring the impact of what we're going to be studying this morning. This is False Teachers Part 2, okay? Beginning in verse 9 from the Amplified. It says, "Now, if all these things are true, then be sure the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom." Verse 10 is where we're picking up. "And particularly those who walk after the flesh and indulge in the lust of polluting passion and scorn and despise authority." Phillips Translation, verse 10. I love this one. He says, "Let me show you what these men," meaning the false teachers, "what these men are really like." First, addressing their conduct. That word especially is a very big word, loved one. He says, especially those who do something. They walk, it says, according to the flesh, and that's present tense in the Greek, meaning that is their habitual lifestyle. They continually walk in the flesh, if you will, meaning their whole life is given up by the flesh or to the flesh. Flesh is their chief guide. And I want to say from the onset, these teachers, as some teach, they're not apostates. They're not born again, okay? They don't even know the Lord. They don't know anything, okay? And so they're not born again. The Bible teaches us about those who walk according to the flesh. Romans 8, 5, Paul writes this, "For those," meaning the lost, "for those who live according to the flesh," a lifestyle that's habitually dominated by the carnal nature, okay? He says, "They set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those," meaning the saved, "those who live," it says, "according to the Spirit," meaning they're led by the Spirit. They walk in the Spirit. It says the things of the Spirit are according to the Spirit, okay? "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be so. So then, those who are in the flesh," those who don't know Christ, it says, "they cannot please God." Well, these teachers, these false teachers, they never please the Lord. Amen? Now, so, but it says they walk in the lust of uncleanness. That means that they are a dirty-minded, dirty-hearted people. This is just God's word. It's not mine. The word there, lust of the uncleanness, is the same word used over in 2:20 of Peter, where it talks about the pollutions of this world, the vile things that are in this life. So false teachers, they have impure hearts, and they corrupt those that they are teaching, and their hearts become impure as well. It says, now let's look at these characteristics. These false teachers, it says, they despise what? Now, whose authority do you think they despise? God's authority, even the government's authority. They despise all authority, and they look down upon God, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon God's holy word, Scripture. So they're not only are they despising authority, look at the next one, they are presumptuous. That word literally means they are bold, but their boldness is not Holy Spirit boldness, it's satanic boldness, if you will. So they're bold and they're daring at devilish boldness, if you will. Now, they are also something else. Look at this next one. They're self-willed. In other words, they really like self. You know what I'm saying? They look in the mirror. I'm just giving, you know, I don't, you know what I mean? I like you. Okay? They are self-willed. They love self. And matter of fact, they are so pleased with themselves that nothing else pleases them. That's what that word self-willed means. Now listen, not only that, the next thing, look at this next characteristic. They are not afraid. Literally, they do not tremble to speak evil, or literally to continually speak evil of dignitaries. Now, that's not talking about somebody that's in government. The word dignitary means glorious or glorious ones, and it has to be, in my opinion, speaking of the angelic powers, okay? They speak evil of those angelic powers. So what does that mean? They absolutely think nothing of mocking the unseen world. You know, Christians, listen, when we speak, you know, you mentioned the devil and all that. We don't just, he's the devil. We don't call him Slewfoot and all. You know what I'm trying to say? Okay, you got to be careful. And what's so sad, they deliberately speak, meaning they blaspheme that which is holy, okay? Why? Well, because they're led by the flesh. They walk in the flesh. They're presumptuous. They're bold. They're daring. They're in love with themselves and no one else. Whereas, look at angels, though, meaning holy angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reveling accusation against them, meaning against the fallen angels, it says, before the Lord. Why? Well, the angels know there's only one true judge. Amen? Yeah. And so here's the thing. The unseen world, they fear God. They know God. They see God. Do you understand? But here, these false teachers, man, they don't fear the unseen world at all. And they do what God's holy angels would never dare do. They would never say anything to the fallen angels. They wouldn't do that, okay? But these false teachers, they would do that. They would bring accusations, speak blasphemous things. Now, in Jude verse 9, it says this, "Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses." Now, the Old Testament, if we go back over to Deuteronomy, we don't know That's silent. We don't have that information, okay? But who buried Moses? God did. So there was a fight for the body of Moses, okay? The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that no one even knows where God buried Moses. So it says here, the Michael archangel contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, look what he did. He dared not bring against him, meaning Satan, a reviling accusation, meaning a judgment or pass a sentence or even an opinion. But he said this, the Lord rebuke you. That was it. And he can do that. We can do that. Amen? Now, so what's the main point here? The main point is that even Michael did not rebuke him in his own authority. But look at the next verse, verse 12. But these, meaning these false teachers, these, look what they're like natural brute beast made to be caught and destroyed. Loved one, I'm going to ask you a question. First, let me say this. Do you know how rare it is for any church on a Sunday morning to be taught this sermon? Do you understand? Yet it is one of the most needed sermons in the church. We need to know about false teachers. Amen? You know, people say, oh, don't judge them. I am going to judge them because God does. He warns us on what we're to do. Did you know, let me say something to you. How many New Testament books are there? Thank you, 27. Did you know if you really study the Bible, how many books of the Bible mention false doctrines or false teachers in the New Testament? You ready? 26. 26. Only one book doesn't, and that's Philemon. So would you say that false teachers and false doctrine are important to God? Okay, now, that's why we're doing this on a Sunday morning, because we teach through the Bible, amen? We need to know these things. Now, with all of that being said, do you think this language here, let me read it again, but these false teachers, like natural brute beast, made to be caught and destroyed. Is that harsh language? Who penned the Bible? The Holy Spirit, amen? Through us, through men. Oh, man. I mean, he said, you're animals. When we get down to verse 22, it's going to get worse. Pigs and dogs. Hello? Yeah. So he says, false teachers, God's word said, they're like animals. What does he mean? They prey upon people, and then they devour their spiritual lives. And that's what Peter is saying here. So the word of God, man, listen, this is the word of the living God, and God himself in his word. Those who knowingly and deliberately teach error, false doctrine to his sheep or anyone. Loved one, listen, what does he call them? You know, the Bible says in Psalm 132, verse 8, it says, for you have magnified, O God, your word above all of your name. Any name that you could name God in the Bible, God, he says, I put my word above it. And boy, for someone to take God's word and blaspheme it or change it or lie about it or twist it. Remember how they twist the word like plastic? You know, listen, God says, you know what they are? They're beast. They're natural brute beast. What does that mean? They are devoid of divine life. They are devoid of divine revelation. They live completely in their lives then and today under the power of sin, the Adamic nature. They're not born from above. And what's tragic, I mean, think about this for a moment, what God's word says. We can't water it down. Listen, what does he say about their only value? The only value that a false teacher has? Look what it says. They are made to be caught and destroyed. Is that a tough word? Does that show us how far sin can literally take someone? It can take a person where they are like or they live below the animal level. And that's what God is saying here. And not only that, look at how smart they are. It says they speak evil of things they do not understand. What things is Peter talking to us about? About spiritual things, okay? About the unseen world. They don't know anything about it. Why? They have absolutely no spiritual discernment. They're carnal. They're not born again. Now, here, they don't understand God's ways. They don't understand the heart of God. And yet, when we find in Scripture? They pose here, in this part that we're reading, they pose themselves as some type of spiritual experts in the spiritual realm. Let me tell you something. Here's a person that is lost, dead, and trespasses and sins. They hear the good news. They ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart. They're immediately out of the old man into the brand new man. They're a new creation. Amen? That person at that very moment knows more that very second than those false teachers will ever know. Do you understand? They are totally without spiritual discernment. Man, the Bible tells us about teaching God's word. What an honor to teach the Word of God. Amen. What a blessing it is for Jesus to have gifted the church with evangelists and pastor teachers and the like. I mean, it's a gift. That's a gift. But, you know, teaching God's Word is not just teachers. What's going to happen to them? We'll look at verse 12 again there toward the end. Well, they will utterly perish, and look how they do it, in their own corruption. Wow. So they will be corrupted by their own corruption. That means something. It means it doesn't happen suddenly. It is a slow, ongoing process of horrible spiritual decay and spiritual rottenness in their hearts. Man, that is a tough word. And it says, and they will receive, that word receive means paid in full, they will receive the wages of their sin, the wages of unrighteousness. You know, the Bible teaches us, Paul the Apostle, he told us in Galatians 6:7, he says, God is not mocked. Amen? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen? He that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he who soweth to his spirit shall reap everlasting life. These sowed, boy, corruption to their own hearts and spirit. But look at the next one there. This is receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it, what? Well, they count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. Now, the word count there in the Greek, it means a reasoning, okay? It means think deeply about your life. Think deeply about this topic, in other words. And it means to think about all of it, gather all of the facts you can, and then make a conclusion, bring it to a conclusion. So what did these false teachers, what did they do? Well, they added everything up, everything that they were doing, and you know what they concluded? Well, the Bible just told us. They concluded that it was a pleasure or a delight or a joy for them to live in open sin, even in broad daylight where everyone could see. Unbelievable, isn't it? They just threw it right in people's face. Now listen, if they did it in broad daylight, that means they didn't really work. You know what I mean? If you're going to party all day long and live like that, they're not working. You know why they're not working? They live off sheep, and they do the same thing today. Look at these words now in verse 13 again. They are spots. They are blemishes. They are carousing, or that word means to live in luxury, okay? Luxury, luxury, luxury. In their own deceptions. Not only do they deceive others, they are even deceived themselves. And look what they do, these spots and blemishes, while they feast with you. Literally, it would be feast sumptuously, if you can say that word, with them, okay? It means they love to get a free meal, let's put it like, all right? Now, so false teachers, God's word said it, I didn't say it, they are filthy stains and blemishes while they feast with you. What is he saying? I mean, is he talking about, well, they're invited to dinner? Is it a social gathering? I believe that it's probably speaking here of what was called then a love feast, okay? We call it kind of like a potluck. And so it was a love feast. A love feast back then took place before partaking of the Lord's Supper. They would all come together and so forth. It says in Jude 12, these are spots in your love feast. And while they feast with you without fear, they just serve only themselves. Now listen carefully. I want you to get a picture of this. What do false teachers then and today as well, what do they do while feasting with the sheep, with Christians? Look at verse 14. It tells us, having eyes full of what? Adultery. That literally, to read it correctly, it literally means every woman that they look at, every woman that they see, they look at her as a potential adulteress, okay? She's not going to be faithful to her husband. They look at every woman the same way. So that tells us that they have an eye problem, amen? They have an eye problem because they want every woman they see, and the reason is because their eyes are full of wickedness and darkness. Jesus told us in Matthew's gospel, the 6th chapter, the 23rd verse, he said this. Jesus said, if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Boy, theirs was great, amen? Now, not only that, I mean, having eyes full of adultery, and watch the next part, that cannot cease from sin enticing unstable souls. They cannot stop sinning. They never get enough of sin. Boy, that is the word of God. I'm telling you, is it strong? Man, I love the word. Yeah, listen, they don't have enough of sin, and the reason that they can't stop sinning, you know why? They're slaves to sin. You see, they're not born again. They're controlled by the lust of the flesh, and they do something. They're seducers. See that word enticing? It means they have bait. They put bait out for the sheep. Look who they entice, though. Unstable what? Souls, Christians. Now listen, what is an unstable Christian? An unstable Christian is one who loves Jesus, but they don't know a thing about the Word. Because they're unstable. They've never grounded themselves in the Word. They've never, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God, they have never opened their Bibles and said, I am going to grow in a spiritual discipline of studying God's Word. And that's what all of us, we have to do. That's the only way we can ever recognize false teachers if we don't know the Word of God. Amen? So it's so important that we understand these things. So they're not grounded in God's Word. So these false teachers, they not only have an eye problem, they have a heart problem. Because Jesus told us in Matthew 15, 19, he said, out of the heart, okay, proceed evil thoughts, murders, and adulteries. They had eyes full of adulteries. Where did it come from? It came from their heart. Look at this now, again in verse 14. This is tragic. And they have a heart trained in covetousness practices and are accursed children. Look at that first part again. They have a heart trained. That word trained there, we get our word gymnasium, okay? So false teachers, they work out at Planet Fake News, okay? And that's where they work out. And they are fit, man. They are perfectly fit. Why? They have now become experts in greed and sex, seduction. And we have already learned that covetousness is idolatry. Amen? Colossians 3:5, it's idolatry. It's a constant desire for more and more and more, but it never satisfies the heart. Jesus told us, beware of covetousness. Amen? For man does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses in Luke 12:15. And that's such a true word. Now, Christians, listen. I get shocked today with some Christians, okay? Even as old as I am, I still get shocked, believe it or not. You have to stay away from false teachers. You know, Christians, they need to know God's Word, and they need to be careful which gym they work out in, meaning which church they work out in, amen? And they really need to know, especially their instructors who's training them in righteousness, amen? Training them in the Word of God. Why? Because if you go to a false teacher's gym, you know what they produce? Accursed children. Did you just read that? That's what they produce, loved one. Listen, why? Because they take on the character of their father, these false teachers, the devil.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. And as always, we want to thank you for beginning this new year with us, and we do hope you'll make it your New Year's resolution to join us each day and study God's Word along with us. Amen? Happy New Year, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.